Good morning. As I approached the text this week, I recognized that Jesus is telling his disciples goodbye. And he's offering his disciples some final words that they need to carry on. 3 years ago, in April, we lost my dad. And I remember being in the hospital as he took his last breaths and as he slowly passed away. And it was interesting. My dad had been fighting liver cancer for several months before this happened, and we were getting some decent news from the doctors, but all of a sudden he developed some blood clots, and so they had to stop the treatments and put him on blood thinners. And so suddenly, because they had stopped some of the treatments, he was starting to feel much better, right? Well, then he developed a brain bleed because of the blood thinners, and that inevitably led to his death. But just 2 days before I got that phone call saying, "Cassie, you need to come now," I was at a Royals game with Aaron. And I remember we were standing outside of the clubhouse where they sell those really fancy bats and all the signed balls. And my dad starts calling me. And I'm like, ugh, what does he want right now? And I pick up the phone and I'm like, "Dad, I'm at a Royals game." And he says, "Cassie, I have something that I need to tell you." And I'm like, okay. And at this time, very few people knew that I was pregnant with Emerson. Well, we had this old baby scale when I was growing up that was painted blue and it was chipping. And my dad said, "Cassie, I just want to make sure that you come get this." And I'm like, "Okay, Dad, well, Emmy's not due till October. Like, I think we're okay." And so it seemed, as I reflect on that now, my dad had this sense of urgency. He was starting to give his final words. I don't think he knew he was passing on, but somewhere deep down, I think he knew that these were his final days, and he needed to have those final conversations with his children. And my brothers both told me afterwards that they got similar phone calls from my dad in those days preceding his death. We often approach death, and there are these final words that we offer. Now, my dad's words weren't super profound. "Hey, I need you to come get a baby scale." But sometimes these moments when we are with our loved ones near their death, at their deathbed, the words they say to us, we remember for a long time. Jesus is kind of at his deathbed here. The Last Supper has just happened. He's just washed his disciples' feet. And he's giving what scholars today call the farewell discourse, which is this part into chapter 17 of John. And it's Jesus' final words to his disciples. And he's offering final advice. All of the unfinished business of his life, he wants to let his friends know, and he wants to let them know now. And so he comes to them and he says these words. He starts by saying, "Little children." Now they're his peers, right? They're of similar age. But he calls them little children. And he says to them, "I am with you for only a little longer. You're going to look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you can't come with me. And I give you a new commandment. I want you to love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." In this moment, Judas had gone out. The hour had come. There was no turning back. The betrayal had been set in motion. And so when he had this last opportunity to say to his students, his friends, his disciples, his final words, he calls them little children. These grown men, he says, listen to me now. I'm getting ready to go to a place where you cannot come. So it's important that we have a little bit of time together. And so he says these simple words. I give you a new commandment, simply to love one another. Now, when I think about this commandment that Jesus gives, it's not so much of a legalistic, mandatory kind of commandment, because if you're commanded to love, it's not really love, right? But it's more of Jesus' final plea. Him saying, guys, Judas just went out to betray me. I mean, he didn't say that, but he knew that that was happening. And Peter, you're about to deny me three times. He says that in the next verses. And the rest of you, you're just going to sit back and watch all this play out. So when the time comes and I die, guys, you have to love one another. Don't turn on one another. Lean on one another. Love one another. When my great-grandmother passed away, she had a very distinct will laid out. And it was that each of her sons would pick one item from her home, and the rest would go to auction, and the proceeds would be split between the two of them. Simple, right? Pretty clear? I don't know if I agree with that or not, but that was her will. That was what she wanted. Immediately, it caused fights the day she died. Okay? There was lots of fighting. And my grandfather and his brother, you know what? They still do not speak to this day over the fighting that ensued over that one death. Death often leads to tension. It can either break us apart or it can bring us together. And this is exactly what Jesus knew. He knew he was about to die, and he knew his death would cause one of two things. It would bring his disciples together, or it would tear them apart. And he said to them, guys, you need to love one another. In the life of the church, we often talk about loving our enemies, loving the other, loving our neighbor, right? And all of those things are important, and I really feel like the church, the big church, does a terrible job. And so we talk about it often on Sunday mornings, what it means to love the other. But here in John, we're told that we're also supposed to love each other, our families, our friends. If you had to think of one person that has hurt you the most in your life, was it a stranger or was it someone close to you? Probably someone close to you, right? We tend to hurt and harm those that we love. Jesus' commandment is simple. Jesus does not come spouting off a bunch of Bible verses, right? He doesn't come explaining a bunch of theological mumble-jumble, right? He's not talking to a group of seminary students arguing over which commandment is the greatest. He had done that, right? But in his final days, he says, guys, this is it. The final commandment, if you forget everything else, the simplest thing that you can do is love one another. When we as the church gather in, we like to fight with one another. Have you ever watched a general conference take place? We like to fight. We like to argue over little pieces of scripture and say, well, this is bigger than this, and this is greater than yours, and well, my Bible says this, well, yours says that. We just can't agree, and it turns into fighting and hate when Jesus is simple. Jesus says, Little children, think like children for a second. The greatest commandment, the new commandment that I give to you, is to love one another. Over these next few months, I would say the church is going, specifically the United Methodist Church, is going to be experiencing fighting and controversy as we approach the next general conference in 2020. This isn't new in the life of Methodism. I can't count on my fingers and my toes how many times the church has decided to break apart. It's more times than we can count. This happens repeatedly. And often I think it's because we forget this really simple message. There's not a whole lot to say about it, because Jesus is pretty clear. He says, guys, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. If we go through the roll call of the disciples, they were not a group of perfect men, right? They were tax collectors. They were eventually men that would betray Jesus and deny Jesus. They got things wrong more times than we can count, right? How many times does Jesus yell at them? Have you not gotten this yet, guys? They are a group of imperfect people. And yet, Jesus loves them. Jesus keeps calling them. Jesus keeps bringing them along. Jesus lets them preach. Jesus lets them go tell people about them. Jesus lets them heal people. Jesus lets them do holy act after holy act, despite the fact that they mess up. And sometimes simply don't care that they mess up, right? And yet Jesus says, guys, I want you to love each other just as I have loved you. As we continue to be the church of Jesus Christ, we are going to fight with one another. We are not going to agree on everything. We probably couldn't even agree on a hymn to sing if we all sat down and started debating. But at the end of the day, the commandment is simple. Little children, love one another as I have loved you. Amen. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we gather in this morning, hearing these final words of farewell that you offer to your disciples in the Gospel of John. God, these are the same words that you offer to us. In your final moments, you give us words to live by. You give us words to build our lives on and to carry forth into our communities. And God, you knew that when the time would come for your son Jesus to die, it would be really difficult. And it would cause strain on those relationships. But God, in that moment, Jesus reminds us to love one another. God, as we go out into the world and do this work for you, in our anger, in our frustration, in our blame, in our hurt, let us remember the call that you gave to your disciples. It is the same call you give to us. We love you and we praise you in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.